He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Dark clouds rolled away, sunshine now on me. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me free. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me. Dark clouds rolled away, sunshine now on me. God has smiled on me, He's been good to me.
Well, good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you all this morning. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome to this gathering of the people of God here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister of this congregation, this neighborhood, and I'm so glad to be with you again today. If you are visiting with us, so thankful for your presence. And as always, those of you who are participating in the life of this church online, thank you for joining us that way as well. Well, today, all of us are invited to bring our whole selves, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our strength. We'll bring it before God as we worship to the God who gives us life in Jesus the Christ. We'll do that in a variety of ways this morning. We'll encourage one another in faith. We'll sing hymns. Brent, thank you for leading us today. We will break bread and drink from the cup. We will pray. Kay and Ruth will lead us in a couple of prayers today. We'll listen, we'll read scripture, and we will share in a full meal together after classes this morning. Christ meets us here, my friends, and so we gather together in gratitude. For a moment or two, how about we stand to greet one another, this family who gathers here, say hi, and then I will come back up, light our Christ candle. Let's remain standing for the psalm and songs that follow. Let's do that now, please. We light our Christ candle, of course, as a remembrance that Christ is indeed among us and in us. Hey, brother. Good to see you this morning. Would you stand, please? Hear our call to worship from Psalm 82. God has taken his place in the divine council, in the midst of the gods he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and to the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Rise up, O God. and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout thy universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died, take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. God, who stretched the spangled heavens infinite in time and place, flung the suns in burning radiance through the silent fields of space. We are children in your likeness, share inventive powers with you. Great Creator, still creating, show us what we yet may do. As each far horizon beckons, may it challenge us anew. Children of the creative purpose, serving others, honoring you. May our dreams prove rich with promise, each endeavor well begun. Great Creator, give us guidance till our goals and yours are one. Let's be seated.
Good morning, church. Could you all bow with me, please, and pray? Father, this morning, as this blessing goes up and prayers come down. And this morning, oh God, Father, we lift this church up in prayers, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for all the blessing upon this church. Father, we give you thanks and praise for everyone who is online this morning watching, and everyone is here. Father, we ask you, O God, to fix everyone's heart together, Lord, that we could pray and continue giving God thanks the blessing for this church, Lord Jesus. Father, when I first came here, there was about 300 members in this church. And Father, you say many are called, but few are chosen. And we know that we are the chosen one for this church. We know that we are here, Lord, not by accident. We know that we are here, Father, because you have blessed us to be here. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for our preacher that you bring to help us, Lord Jesus, for the blessing of this church, Pastor Steve and his family. Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we give you the blessing this morning, Lord. Open up this church, Father, and we pray, oh God, Father, that you may bring people from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Father, we just thank you and praise you and glorify your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and more contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did there such love and sorrow meet, or thorns come close so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Pray with me, please. Holy God, enthroned in splendor and worthy of praise, as Jesus taught us, we come to you and are bold to call you our Father. We come as prodigals. We have run away from you and squandered the riches which are ours in Christ on worthless things. We come as beggars, longing to come home. We come knowing and confessing that we are unworthy to be called your children. Your children are led by your Spirit, but too often we have chosen to wander in our own way instead of walking the way of Jesus. Father, forgive us. Restore a right spirit within us and help us to take our next step in the paths of righteousness. Your children seek your kingdom, but we have spent too much time and energy on worldly things and on dreams of heaven instead of willing and working for your kingdom on earth. Father, forgive us. Your children are called peacemakers, but too often we have disturbed the peace of others and of ourselves. We have treated your other children as if they were our enemies and failed to see your image in every face. Father, forgive us. Your children speak the truth in love, but we have used our tongues as weapons to wound and hurt others. We have failed in both truth and love. Father, forgive us. More times than we can count, we have asked for and received your forgiveness of all our debts, and then we have walked out into the world and refused to forgive others. Help us, dear Father. Help us this time to do better. This time, help us to be like Jesus and to be his hands, his feet, his heart, at all times and in all places. Help us to heal and bind up wounds, to visit the sick and free the imprisoned, to welcome everyone, not only friends and family, but strangers, enemies, all those who sit at our gates or wander in out-of-the-way places, not knowing that they are guests invited to your great feast. Dearest Father, help us to carry your invitation to them, to welcome everyone to your table and to your house of peace. Help us to love mercy, to seek justice, and to walk humbly before your throne of grace. We thank you for Jesus, in whose name we come boldly trusting in our Father's steadfast love, certain that we will receive your mercy and will find grace to help us when we most need it. Amen.
Ruth and Kay, thank you both for praying today. All that King gave you was just a simple phrase, a prayer of praise and a prayer of confession. And both of you use words that I will use during my sermon. So thank you for that today. Well, let's pray again. I will speak for a moment, and then our Roots kids will be dismissed to the back. Let's pray together. Our prayer of praise and our prayer of confession now lead us to this one, that you will pour forth through me the gift of preaching, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Well, this morning we have officially reached our halfway point in our series in Luke's Gospel. Today is week 12, And we have 12 more to go before the Christ child takes a bulk of our attention, as children are apt to do. For 3 months, we have journeyed with Jesus, watching him heal, hearing him pray, listening to his sermons like this one that we will now speak aloud together, this Jesus' pronouncement. Join me, please. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That sermon back in Luke chapter 4 launched his ministry around the tender age of 30, and he became his guiding star for all the healings and prayings and preachings that he would do. Jesus is pronouncing the kingdom of God, and he is absorbed in this mission that he has come to accomplish. The next 12 weeks will be more of the same, except there will be a few more parables thrown in and a few more voices, not my own, offering pointed reflections along the way. Today's text, though, falls to me and to us. Let's hear now from Luke chapter 12, after which then our Roots friends can be dismissed to their table for their time together. Oscar will read in Spanish, Oscar leerá en español. And then Glenn will come and read in English. Glenn, how about you come forward also, so both of y'all up here. Oscar.
Good morning. He venido a traer fuego a la tierra. Y como quisiera que ya estuviera ardiendo, tengo que pasar por la prueba de un bautismo, y cuánta angustia siento hasta que se cumpla. ¿Creen ustedes que vine a traer paz a la tierra? Les digo que no, sino división. De ahora en adelante estarán divididos 5 en una familia, 3 contra 2 y 2 contra 3. Se enfrentarán el padre contra su hijo y el hijo contra su padre, la madre contra su hija y la hija contra su madre, la suegra contra su nuera y la nuera contra su suegra. Luego añadió Jesús a la multitud, cuando ustedes ven que se levanta una nube en el occidente y enseguida dicen, va a llover, y así sucede. Y cuando sopla el viento del sur dicen, va a hacer calor, y así sucede. Hipócritas, ¿saben interpretar la apariencia de la tierra y del cielo? ¿Cómo es que no saben interpretar el tiempo actual? Amén.
From Luke 12. I come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it's completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?
Así es. Oscar, gracias. Glenn, thank you for reading an extremely uplifting and inspirational passage. We appreciate that. How about when you go home, you print that off and tape it to your refrigerator for some daily encouragement, okay? What is Jesus up to here? It's like he has taken a serrated knife and sawed through with recklessness everything that he has worked for so far. Judgments, accusations, the taunts, what will that accomplish? Speaking like that, and what good will that do? Maybe Jesus needs to hit the reset button on his ministry, reevaluate, huddle up, brainstorm with his board members. What's going right? What's not? Should we try another approach? Or maybe Jesus needs a break. He's been going at this pretty strong for a while now. It's hard for anyone to keep up that sort of pace, even if you are the Son of God. Do you remember how Peter once pulled Jesus aside out of concern for Jesus' mental health? You remember that? Might it be time for a bigger intervention with more hands on deck? Perhaps he can take one of those prayer retreats that he is famous for. Withdraw to the sea, escape to the hills, go on a sabbatical where he can recharge and be rewired for the months to come, for whatever is in store for him. Because something is off right now. This is not like him. It's out of character. Look at the parable Jesus told right before what Oscar and Glenn read aloud. It's about a master who suddenly returns from a trip, and he goes about beating his slaves for the poor condition of his estate. Blessed is any preacher who can spin that teaching into a positive message. But Jesus is not quite done yet. With fire and brimstone, he then spews flames from his lips and lightning from his eyes. I have come to start an inferno on this earth, and how I wish it were blazing right now. James and John wanted to do the exact same thing a few chapters back, but they were reprimanded for suggesting such a thing. Yet here is Jesus, the one holding the gasoline can. Is this a double standard? We find theological messages of fire all throughout our Bible, prophets and preachers, and stories of what scorching heat can do. In Luke's gospel, you got a couple of them, including these two. You got refining fires of John the Baptist burning away the dross of sin and fruitless deeds, leaving behind a cleansed version of creation. And you've got the fires of judgment raining down upon forces vehemently opposed to God's kingdom, like the unfortunate city of Sodom. I'll let you decide if Jesus' fiery speech sounds like either of those. Although I will say that neither option sounds like a very pleasant experience and probably should be avoided at all costs. It's just not something Jesus himself can do. His own final flare is coming soon, his second baptism just around the corner. This time, it's not a cool, clear, watery immersion where, like us, the church presses forward to watch with great joy. No, this will be a baptism of searing death, when pride and prejudice and power will position nails upon his hands and affix him to a cross. That very thought stresses him out, Luke reports. How troubled Jesus is with what is looming for him. Please send this man on a vacation. But he can't, or he won't. And Jesus will keep walking onward until it is accomplished. The problem is, his walking will become the zippered rift that separates rather than connects. What, do you think I've come to bring peace upon the earth? He asks. Well, frankly, yes, we do think that. We do think that you've come to bring peace on earth because that's what we've heard you say. It's what we sing, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Plus, after you healed people, Jesus, you literally said, go in peace. When you sent your disciples out, you told them to say, peace to this house. Before you were born, Zechariah said that you would, quote, guide our feet into the path of peace. And after you got up from the grave, one of the very first things you did was offer peace to your frightened followers. So yes, we think that Jesus has come to bring peace to the earth, but now we're not so sure. Because Jesus says, no, I have not come to bring peace, but rather division. That's a new one. From now on, you will find five in a house. It will be three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride-to-be and bride-to-be against mother-in-law. Pick a side, gang up against one another, and bring the other side down. Since it's not listed, maybe that means that me as father and Cora's daughter will be just fine. But I'm sad to say that Chelsea and Cora will not be so lucky. Fifteen and a half years ago, when I interviewed for the role of youth minister at this congregation, Chelsea and I met with the then elders and their spouses for dinner at the Darrow's house. I don't recall any specific questions other than Larry's, what is the kingdom of God question, one that I still wrestle with most days. But I am sure something was asked about how I could envision the job going, what I would like to do if given the opportunity, what dreams I may have. No idea how I responded to that inquiry, but if I had taken Jesus as my prompt, I am certain I would not be standing here today. You know, I think my main task as youth minister would be to create as much tension among the families as possible. Get in there, see what kind of friction I can rile up. Make sure dads and sons hate one another, pit in-laws against each other, bring as much conflict to the surface as I can, you know, those kind of things. Well, thanks for coming, I can imagine David Pipe saying to us then. What time is your flight back to Abilene? Jesus never would have made it as a professional minister in our day. He may, however, have made it as a meteorologist. He could read the skies as well as anyone. When you see clouds coming in from the west, you say, storm's coming, and you're right. And when the wind comes out of the south, you'll say, it's going to be a hot one, and you're right. His weather forecasting skills may be spot on, but once more, Jesus goes off. You fraudulent hypocrites, he says to the crowd. He accuses them. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it then that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Jesus censures them, because they are blind to the signs of God, specifically to that of the ministry of Jesus and the pronouncements he brings. The angry Jesus is not becoming of him, I must say. The name-calling, the family upheavals, the turning over of tables. So what are we to make of all of this? And what can we hear today? For one thing, the shrill wails of Jesus make it near impossible to ignore him. The volume turned way up, the bass thumping in our ears. It'd be easier to just turn the page and find a more soothing scripture, but even then, now that we have heard about it today, the drumbeats will still reverberate through the paper-thin walls and disturb our souls. So, for a second thing, maybe it's just best to pay attention. What is Jesus saying? What's he getting at? When Jesus indicts, when Jesus calls us out for being hypocritical, saying one thing but doing another, we have options, of course. We can defend ourselves. I'm not hypocritical. You're hypocritical. We can feign ignorance. I don't know what you're talking about. We can ignore it altogether. I'll go my own way. Thank you very much. Or we can heed his criticism and say, Jesus is right. I have lived in hypocrisy. I have not always loved God with my whole heart. I have sometimes stolen what is not mine to take. We have not always been an obedient and hospitable church. And we have often failed to see the signs of Jesus' movements as anything other than inconvenient or irrelevant. Acknowledging our hypocrisy seems to be our only hope when it comes to newness, when it comes to change. And if that happens, it means the gospel really has broken in among us. Third and lastly, the gospel that breaks in will certainly cause social commotion among relationships because, in Jesus, everything is now up for grabs in your life. While other people in your circles of influence have decided to cling to the counterfeit morals or cut-rate principles. Though you'd certainly prefer a peaceable host at the table or a gentle shepherd to lead you, that is not always the case when Jesus gets involved, because he's asked you to choose this day whom you will serve, because he's asked you to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. He has asked you to take this discipleship thing seriously. Since searing baptisms are not really the desire of the day, it's not too difficult to see why divisions will come. You have decided to live differently, the way of the cross, keeping in step with the one who is intentionally heading to Jerusalem. Going with him will just about split your heart into two, with families, it appears, as collateral damage. I don't think that Jesus wants that to happen, burning the house to the ground. I think Jesus prefers for prodigal sons and waiting fathers to embrace and kiss. But Jesus knows as well as anyone what following God's will may cost him, and he makes it forcefully clear what relational gulfs may emerge. Dad doesn't like what son decides about faith practices. Mom can't understand why daughter sells all of her possessions. Mother-in-law is upset that bride-to-be does not do church like she does. Depending on which generational side you fall on, some of you know immediately the pain that following Jesus in your family can bring. You get that. The good news is that Jesus is also reformulating what family means. It's not, in the end, the DNA that's passed along that matters most, but in whose name you belong. God, by grace and through suffering, creates a new household, a larger one, much bigger than we ever will know and bargained for. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it, Jesus once told his own mom. Not out of disrespect, but out of kingdom reality. God and Jesus is generating a fuller household. And while some will be blood relatives, thankfully, most will not. Most will not even look like you or act like you or smell like you. Squabbles and disagreements and wishing you could cut some people out, that will still remain. But in Jesus, mothers and brothers. If you look around this room, and I hope you do so every time you step foot into it, then you will glimpse the sight of an extended family that we ourselves in no way could ever give birth to. Yet in Jesus, here we are, learning to pay attention, confessing our hypocrisy, and claiming our belovedness, for we all have come to hear and do the word of God. And together, family, we say or we type, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn and crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget the ceremony, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Let's be seated. This family here, this one that gathers under this roof and amongst these walls, we gather in the name of Jesus. This family does. It's because of Jesus that we each week are invited to share this cup, this bread with each other, this bread which is Christ's body given for us, given to us, this cup which is his blood poured out on our behalf and for the sins of many. As we do, as we are accustomed to doing, if you'd like to help me share the bread and the cup with the congregation, with this family, you can come forward in just a few moments and help me do that. Let's pray first, and then if you're interested in helping, you can come on up. Thank you, God, for this family that I see before me, the faces and the hearts, the folks that you have gathered together in your name, the ones that you have called to be together, as Ruth earlier said, called to be together at this time in this place. And so we give you thanks for that. We do not eat and drink today under our own names or under our own banners, but in the name of Jesus. And it's to him and him alone that we give you thanks this morning. Amen.
My sinful soul is counted free.
All right, so let's also give because we have indeed been given. Glenn, thanks for walking around today. Jessica, you're walking around a little bit too. Thank you for doing that. If you have any of the cards that you want to put in this offering plate, your tithes, contributions, offerings, you can put that in today. You could also give online or bring it to the office and we'll take care of it that way too. Let's give thanks and then y'all too can walk around. Thank you, Jesus, for even your hard words. And as we keep on praying, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us now hands that are open and generous. And through that, may your kingdom come and your will be done. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. Right, a couple of family matters to share with you. Last week, I believe, or maybe the week before, we started talking about Sunning Glen Children's Home, which is a place that this congregation has been supporting in various ways for a while. They are going to swing by in a few weeks and pick up pasta sauce, canned veggies, and tuna fish. If you have any of those that you want to give, that you pick up at the store, the barrel is back in the lobby. You can place everything in that. And they will come by in a few weeks. Thursday Bible class begins this upcoming week. It is both in person and on Zoom. And if you would like to be on the Zoom, Park King is your connection that way. All right, we have a church meal immediately after our Bible classes today. So Jessica, come and talk to us about that, please.
So I'm increasingly sensitive to some words that appear in the Bible now. In the morning, this morning, our text included the word orphan. And surprisingly, I felt my stomach turn. I think these past few years that we've been on this journey, it's changed. My perception has changed on how God sees us as his children. This meal this morning is just to signify that God has such a special relationship with us. And similar to that, you have a very specific, special relationship with my child. She's no longer an orphan. She has a sense of belonging because of each of you. So thank you so much. This morning we have Casey's bringing potato soup. I made sweet potato chili. It's slow cooked overnight, so I'm very excited about that. It smells really good. I made Brunswick stew. It's warming, cooking, slow cooked the chicken overnight. It's a Georgia specialty that I'm very fond of. And I made 3 pots of it, so please eat it or else I'm gonna have to take it home. Croissants, I've split those and brought meat and cheese in case you guys wanna make sandwiches. Fruit salad, drinks, and a selection of desserts. So come enjoy after class.
The meal is also just a reminder, Jessica, of God's faithfulness. That God answered prayers, long-held prayers that this church and you and Alex have been praying for. So we gather in gratitude and thanksgiving to share this meal together. 2 things before I talk about the Bible classes for today. Steve, in just a moment, after I say these 2, will you say something about Vera? Okay. About a year and a half ago, we opened up our food pantry, which is called the Bread Baskets. Most of you who come in through this door over here, and walk past it every single Sunday or Wednesday. And it's always open. And as You can do, anybody can go in, get whatever they need, and people can also drop things off and leave it there for people. I myself never really know who is going in to take things that they need, take items of food they need, nor do I really know who is dropping things off. And I am so grateful for both of these, because this is a church who does both and embraces both. So if you are one who takes food, praise be to God for that. We have enough to share. And if you are one who, you're at Kroger and you see an extra bag of cereal or crackers or something that's on sale and you purchase it and put it in there for somebody else's behalf that you will never know, that's great too. Praise be to God for that. So thank you for that. I'm very grateful. Some of the folks I do know who go into the bread basket are our friends on Wednesday night at Reach to Teach. Reach to Teach, of course, is our weekly midweek gathering for mentoring and tutoring, which happens in this very room. Children from this neighborhood and adults from a couple of adults from this congregation, Bonnie and myself, Cora joins us, and other adults that are not part of really any faith tradition or other congregations. We all come and work together, and it's a very beautiful thing. This last week symbolized the end of our summer time together. We have jumped back into tutoring, helping with homework, those sorts of things, and there is always a place for you. If you need a spot, if you want a spot to come and help, you can do that, and you can just talk to me, and I will give you specifics on what that may look like, and it's a great joy to do so. Steve, come talk about Vera for a minute, and then I will dismiss us with Bible classes and a scripture.
Well, it's Viva. Many of you who've been here for years remember Viva Savage. Viva and Leon were a part of this church for many years. Leon was a youth minister. Viva was one of his students. But anyway, Viva died last Sunday, had a heart attack. She was 84, and there will be a memorial service probably this week at First Baptist, but we do not have the details yet, but I wanted you to know. And many of you also knew Leon's daughter, Lynette Yannis, and I learned that Lynette has been in the hospital since February, with a combination of heart issues, a stroke, respiratory issues. She's on a respirator now and has been in and out of numerous hospitals and rehab units. So please keep them in your prayers as well.
You see classes up on the screen. Hope that you can stick around and be a part of some of these today. They're all over the building for all ages. If you are of the teen class age, we're going to help out Jessica in the lobby, put together some tables and the chairs and whatever food stuffs that we might need to do. So we're going to be in the lobby for that. Well, thanks again for joining us today. I hope this morning has been an encouragement to you. And would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction, this blessing, as we are sent forth from here? This is from Luke chapter 8, which I referenced in today's sermon. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." But Jesus said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Go and do likewise, and go forth in peace and purpose."